You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on November 1st, 2023, and is titled, The Mutilation. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Philippians, and let's join Steve and the message.
Bring me a meth head. Richard, you've seen me do the meth heads. There's nothing more spiritual than methamphetamines. If you'll do meth long enough, pretty soon you become very acquainted with shadow devils and demons. They're real. I want to know the last sermon preached at any Baptist church in the state of Texas on demons and the casting out of demons. I'm not picking on the Baptists. I just don't want to name the other 19 that doesn't do it either. Can't talk about it because nobody there does it. No, we're going to follow the ways of man because we follow our flesh. So every Saturday morning, if you want to turn on the TV for just a minute and watch a little sports catch up or something, you get to watch. It's not even at night. We're sitting there the other night, and this one thing, I don't know. I know there's people in here that might have a rash. Don't raise your hand if you have a rash. But let me ask you, does everybody in here have a rash? Because apparently everybody in the world must have a rash because there's a commercial on every 14 seconds about medicine to fix your rash. It's the truth. And we're laying there in bed and I said, who has a rash? I buy TV commercials on the cheapest channel where the guys are all my buddies and I get a discount and it's expensive. We're selling pills that will fix your rash. Over and over and over. It's millions of dollars to fix your rash. And I don't know anybody's got a rash. Oh, my God. And I'm laying there, and then they go through that whole thing. Now, if you have any suicidal thoughts, or your tongue swells up and you choke on it, or I don't know, they got a whole list of things that will kill you by trying to fix your rash. Then here in a minute, there'll be a pill. They'll advertise another pill that says, hey, you don't have to think like that. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be oppressed. You don't have to be bipolar. You don't have to do any of that. We got a pill. But now if you have suicidal thoughts or your tongue swells up and going to choke you. And I'm just laying there. I never pay no attention. The other night I just got to listen to him. I thought, this is absolutely the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. So if you're a good old faithful church-going school teacher and you got one of them little demons in your congregation, they'll tell you how to fix it. He's got ADD or dyslexia. We've got all kinds of things, and there's a pill for it. There's a pill for it. I'm not talking about a world of people that's too dumb to know better. I'm talking about people who are supposed to be reading their Bible, following God, and walking by faith. So you know what my answer has been every time? If you got a monkey that's throwing a fit, don't give him a peanut. Jerk the fit out of the monkey. Get the demon out of him. Get his head straight. You see, if we wasn't a mutilated body, we'd already been handling this stuff. That Bible's been around for a long time. But no, because of our flesh and our fleshly attraction to flesh religion, we'll follow the direction of flesh. All of it's carnality. Until you become spirit-led, it's all carnality. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about right here. He goes on this real quick. He says, not having that, I've already attained it. Or I'm already perfected. See, I love that part right there. Look, listen to me now. I'm on that same road. I got a long ways to go. There'll come a day where I can tell this better than I'm telling it now. It just won't be as funny. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I'm pushing in. Do you get up every morning pushing in? Where are you headed? How are you going to get there? Are you intentional about doing it? That's how you preach this gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how you turn your kitchen table around. That's how you turn your community around. That's how you turn this country around. Everybody gets up in the morning and does their due diligence. You press in. And he said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or taken a hold of all of it. But one thing I do, forgetting that what was behind, forgetting about being a Jew, forget about being circumcised on the eighth day, forgetting about being zealous against the persecution of the church and everything that made the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin happy, I put behind me and I forgot about it. He's not talking about lustful behavior or an adulterous life. He's talking about getting rid of his religion and walking it out with Jesus. He did not get to go to church while he's writing that Bible. He's chained to a wall with his feet in a cistern. And they didn't come in and sing to him while he was in prison. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It is not for attaining heaven. Heaven is not the carrot on the stick. Heaven is the guarantee of a born-again man or woman. Heaven is the result of your faith. And it's immediate. But now you have to walk it out. James wrote about it. He said, faith without works is dead faith. Can even such faith save you? Paul got born again. And he pressed in. He had something he's going to do. You can ask my wife, I am going to save the United States of America. I'm not being arrogant about it. I just don't know if anybody's going to help me. But I'm going to do it anyhow. I'm going to talk to people don't want to be talked to. I'm going to get engaged in stuff. She doesn't even know about this. I had a 2-hour conversation with a guy the other day that was really thought he was doing a really good deed. And by the end of the day, he's kind of standing around going, hey, you had your chance and you putzed it up. Now, how are we going to do this? Now, how are we going to back up and reclaim this? Every day, this is what I want to do every day. Yes, I want a team rope. Yes, I want to hang out with my grandsons. Yes, I like hanging out with my wife. Yes, I love when she cooks supper. I like all this good stuff. I love it. Love it. But the whole time, there's a little BB rolling around in here every morning when I get up. We're going to save this country. I'm going to do it. That's why I went in his jail. I didn't care about getting all them prisoners into heaven. I'm going to tell them how to get there, and then you can get there if you want to. You got to this jail on your own. Surely you can find your way to heaven. I just didn't want any more drug dealers in my town. So I'm going to help the sheriff. I'm going to get in there and talk to him. He can shoot them, and I can talk to him. That's all legal. We can't flip it around. I asked him. He said that wasn't going to work. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, so whatever, wherever you're at in this, whatever degree you've got, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Let's not be mutilated. Let's not be divided. Let's be unified in purpose. Let's be unified in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The remnant is signified by the Holy Ghost dwelling in human beings, and that's it. Now, right quick in Hebrews chapter 6, just turn over just a little bit, because it said to those of us who mature, do you know what man-made religion will do? It will keep you extremely immature. How many of y'all know that immaturity has become an epidemic? 26-year-olds living in their parents' basement. 30-year-olds that don't even know how to spell chores. 20-year-olds that can't drive. Y'all encountered any of them lately? They don't know. You know, just like now on our college campuses, It's a high level of mental immaturity that'll get you to come against the United States of America and her stance with the nation. You lack all knowledge of history. You lack all knowledge of diplomacy. You lack all knowledge of the Constitution. You lack all knowledge. It's all about emotion and immaturity. That's what we got to become mature in the Lord. That's why the Bible tells us in James 1, count it pure joy, my brethren, when you face trials of many kinds. That's why that guy today, he said, can you believe him guys are coming after him like that? And I said, man, that's perfect. You got it. That guy's at the front. You got to attack him. That's the only way you're going to find out if he's got any mustard on his hot dog or not. You got to find out if that guy can take the heat. He's got to be fireproof. Test him. I'm no different. Test me. Come on, take your best shot. Let's do it. I got tested the other day. I got challenged about my faith over an issue that I didn't really have a part in. But the guy wanted to know how a man of God and a guy that preaches to 10,000 people a day, blah, 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 blah. Well, at the end of the conversation, he found out that I was not guilty. I was innocent. So I hadn't done anything. He said, well, okay, so are we good? And I said, almost. I said, you asked me a question when you first rattled out of the box on the telephone. And I'm going to answer it. How does a godly man who preaches to 10,000 people a day make a mistake? He's human. I am human. Extremely human. I said, here's the difference. You claim to be a Christian, and I claim to be a Christian. But your faith has allowed you to sit on your keister every day and do nothing. And my faith put a bullseye on my back. End of story. At the end of the day, we're both still human. You're doing nothing, I'm doing something. So I'm the guy that gets to be the butt of the joke. You can say anything you want to say, talk to anybody you want to talk to in your private life, your cows or whatever, and nobody's going to reprimand you for anything that comes out of your mouth. Me, I get the microscope every day. Good. Bring it. He said, are we good? And I said, absolutely. I said, all that stupid stuff rolls off me like water off a duck. I'm fine. I just needed to tell you that. I'm good. They won't challenge your faith if they don't know you have any. Christians, you got to come out the closet and you got to come out and be spirit-led. You got to be spirit-filled, spirit-led. We cannot continue to walk in this level of immaturity that we walk in. Count it pure joy, my brethren, when you face trials of any kind, because the testing of your faith will bring perseverance. Perseverance will bring maturity, and a man who's mature will lack nothing. That's James chapter 1. So right here in Hebrews 6, listen to this. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That word is also maturity, is what that means. Let us go on to maturity. This is Hebrews 6, verse 1. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. If you'll go on and read the next four verses of that chapter, it'll scare the heebie-jeebies out of you. He said, let's quit doing these elementary things. Now, to finish on the mutilation of the church, let me show you how we cut it off. How many of y'all have had denominational discussions about baptism? How many of y'all know that there are differences talking about water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How many discussions about membership, the requirements for membership? There's only one requirement, membership to God's church, and that is full belief and in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. If you're going to follow Jesus, you'll end up baptized. You'll end up generous. Nobody have to tell you about tithing. Nobody have to tell you where to be because you're spirit led. Those are all elementary things that we hold on to. You know why it's got to be elementary? You know, for centuries, if you were part of the Catholic religion, you weren't even allowed to read the Bible, and they talked to you in Latin, you didn't even know what they were saying. But you attended, and you were there, and you were present. You got nothing out of it. No seed came into you. Nothing happened on behalf. Nothing happened outside the walls. I want you nothing. I'm not picking on Catholics. I'm just telling you where the root of all the rest of it started. The Bible says the root's bad, the whole thing's bad. Man-made religion is religion of the flesh, and if you're not careful, you'll be led by the flesh as opposed to led by the Spirit. I'm not saying don't go to church or belong to an organization or attend once a week, but be sure that you are Spirit-led. Be sure that you are Spirit-filled. Be sure that God is leading you to a place to be challenged. Are you ready to be challenged in your faith? Or are we just going to stand around and be destroyed or damaged, altered, drastically altered because of all these elementary things? I mean, you tell me, I've asked this for 27 years. Why would the Church of Christ, Baptist, Methodist, Cowboy Methodist, Assembly of God, all read out of the same book, but divide up over the silliest stuff? When I got born again, we went to an organization that split every Sunday morning, 300 here, 300 over there, because of the music. Can you get any dumber? Honest to goodness, I was a brand new guy, and I was like, what in the world? We need to unify. But look, I don't have to get along with everybody. Just get this real clear. I do not have to get along with everybody. I got to get along with this book. And the more people that get along with this book are going to get along with me, and I'm going to get along with them, and then we'll get along with God. That'd be a good way to do it. Let's quit skipping parts of this book and dissecting things around so we can all get along. All pretend like we're just one big happy family, but there's not squat happening on Monday. Nobody's getting any hate mail. Nobody's getting any visits. Nobody's getting terrorized. Nobody's getting challenged. What the heck are we doing? Paul said this was the end result. If I left my religion and was Spirit-led, I'm going to enjoy the power of the resurrection, and I am going to have fellowship with his sufferings. Let me grab my stick and go, woohoo! You ready for some of that action? Huh? Come on. That's the road to the Spirit-led life. Putting yourself out there. I'm just about done, but I just want to know, how many of y'all ever got a phone call from somebody while you were standing in the grocery store and they said, hey, I need you to pray for my wife? Or you stand in your business place and somebody says, hey, put me on your prayer list. Quit nodding your head. And reach over and put your hands on them. And right then, forget the list. Right then, lay your hands on them. Pray over them. Don't speak the name of Jesus. Wear the name of Jesus. Walk in the power of the resurrection. Walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Watch the miracles happen right under your face, right under you. I had a guy ask me this week. He said, "Well, I don't know how to receive all that." I said, "I didn't either, but I'll tell you what I did do. I put myself in a place where it could happen. I put myself in places where it could happen. When I saw a guy laying in distress on the side of the highway on I-40, I stopped my truck and went laid on him and prayed. He was dead and he got up. No big deal, didn't make the paper. You don't hear me say too much about it all this time. It didn't happen once, it happened twice. He was there and I was there. Why not? When's the last time you threw your hat down on the ground over the top of a guy and said, "Hey, if there's any believers here in the Lord Jesus Christ, put your hands on this man and the rest of you people stand back"? Not everybody's going to do that. There's not very many of you in here who wants to be as crazy as some of us. There's a few of you that do. I'm here to tell you it's a pretty cool ride, really. You can see some neat stuff. It's a cowboy event. The rest of you, encourage them. Don't call them crazy. How many denominational churches do you think I can stand up and talk like this and they'll invite me back next week? No. So, I wonder what spirit they operate in if you wouldn't encourage a guy who is willing to walk around with a bullseye on his back, walk around willing to be challenged, walking around willing to look stupid. You know, you look pretty stupid when you're laying on a fat guy on the side of I-40. You willing to look stupid for Jesus? Yeah, these are all good questions. The only way it's going to happen for you, leaving that what's behind and moving towards that what is ahead. And he's talking about religion. He's talking about the worship in the flesh as opposed to worship in the spirit. And the last line I want you to remember, worship in the spirit is not about singing to Jesus twice a week. Worship is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that tells God we love you and we're thankful. We trust you and respect you, Jesus. I want to obey you, Jesus. I want to hear your voice, Jesus. 24/7. 24/7. Not that I've attained it, but I'm pressing on. Anybody else pressing on? What's your goal today? I don't have very lofty goals. I just want to save America. That's it. That's my goal. I'm not going to do it by telling you how to vote. I'll do it by changing your heart. Letting God speak to you. Participating at your kitchen table. Being willing to put yourself out there. Anybody got any questions? Covered a lot of ground tonight. You just can't do this by staying in the second grade. Somewhere you got to move on to junior high. Someday you got to move. You got to move on. You just can't stay in one spot. And I just want to encourage you to do so. I would never assume to be like Paul. But boy, if I could just smell a little bit like him every now and then, I'd be tickled to death. Just have a little bit of what he's got would be okay with me. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Jesus, thank you tonight. Thank you for your servant, Paul. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you wrote in the Word. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Spirit, that you have revealed the power of the resurrection. That, Lord, there's going to be sufferings, and right now the stage is set for a mass amount of sufferings. Lord, first line said, rejoice. Lord, I'd rather suffer with you as to suffer without you, I'll tell you that. If we can do it all to your glory, do it for the expansion of the kingdom. And Lord, there's some of us here today say, play us. We're ready to play. Let's do it. Speak to us, Lord. Your servants listen. Tonight, Lord, I do want to pray for Mike Johnson, who appears to be a man you have set apart for a long time and that you have ordained for such a time as this. I pray, Lord, that he'll stay true to your word and true to your call. I pray, Lord, that his heart will always be for the good of the country and the glory of you, God. That, Lord, you will use that man to bless this nation. Use that man to bring unity to 435 people that can't seem to get along. That, Lord, you'll unify him in purpose, that you'll display your power through him, that he'll pray in power, pray in your mighty name, Jesus, that miracles will happen right on that congressional floor. That God, men will stand in awe of him like they did in the days of Pentecost, when they stood in awe of the people who prayed and believed in you. That those who don't know you will fear the people that do. I pray that over him today. I pray that men will encourage him and stand with him. So, Lord, today we give you thanks for this nation, and we realize the hope that you put in front of us. One last thing, Jesus. If there's one man in the remnant of Jews in the nation of Israel who would rise up and prophesy to the nation, raise him up. Let him go with staff in his hand, the anointing on his lips, and prophesy to your nation and your holy people. That's all I ask, Lord, tonight. We give you glory, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, that morning that Mike Johnson, I know a lot of people were praying during all that, and I sent a text to a congressman that morning and said, I'm believing today, look, that God is going to raise up a man, whether it be you or somebody else, that will stand without fear, without compromise, for the glory of God and the good of our nation. I didn't even know there was a guy named Mike Johnson in Congress. And 2 hours later, there he stood.
And that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.